Hey, friends, I want to first thank you for tuning in to the SGT Report version of the podcast, The Propaganda Antidote. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Now, you've heard about shrinkflation, right? Yeah, shrinkflation. That's where your candy bar gets smaller, but the price stays the same. Same with the box of cereal. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now. It's how corporations are trying to hide inflation, but the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
Politics, I'm sure, is the same. It's like sell your soul for worldly power. But ultimately, the process of selling the soul, I believe that many of these beings are taken over by the demonic force.
Hey, friends, just one more word about another sponsor. So what's your biggest problem with crypto? Some say it's the volatility, and I can vouch for that. It is a very volatile space. Some say it's because it's just too darn complicated and you don't understand it. But get this. My Digital Money does. And now you can speak to a US-based expert who will actually help you out. Not a call center where they just want to sell you something, or a website where you can't get any answers. When you want to buy or sell crypto and haven't got a clue what to do, you don't have to spend hours on Google or in geeky forums anymore. Just pick up your phone and call My Digital Money. That's right. You get to speak to a real human being who knows all about crypto and will explain everything to you, answer all of your questions, and put your mind at ease. So if you think you're missing out and you want to get into crypto, but you're too scared to do so, call 833-MDM-2008 or go to mydigitalmoney.com. That's mydigitalmoney.com. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. Now back to the broadcast. So let's begin. Hey, friends, welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's Sean from sgtreport.com and sgtreport.tv. I'm very gratified and happy to have back on the line Sean Stone. He's an actor, filmmaker, TV host, and he's got a new 4-part docuseries out called Best Kept Secret. Sean, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. As well as can be in this satanic world. It gets increasingly satanic.
Yeah, it is dark days. Exciting times to be alive, but really alarming, the things we're seeing. I mean, what's going on in Australia boggles the mind. And you think it couldn't happen here, but then you look at New York City, you look at New York in general, where one criminal governor was replaced by another criminal governor, and she seems to be almost worse than Cuomo. I think they just fired some, what? I don't know, 14, what was it? They just fired a whole bunch, more than 1,000 medical professionals who refused to take the jab.
I thought it was over 70,000.
Was it that many? I can't even keep track. I mean, the numbers are so large. It's a little bit like the national debt. I mean, 28 trillion, 30 trillion, you know, pretty soon we're talking about real money here.
Yeah, it's like shrug your shoulders, you know. Yeah. it's just crazy, man.
It is crazy.
Where to begin? Go ahead.
You're in Florida, right? Where you actually have a governor that will defend people. I mean, we just heard DeSantis say that he will defend the rights of parents to go in front of school boards and speak their mind, because what are we seeing? Well, we're seeing more fascism. We're seeing school boards, the National School Board Association, reach out directly to Biden and beg him to get the FBI and the Department of Justice involved in shutting these parents down by labeling them terrorists. So they don't want the awoke people showing up at these school boards and speaking their mind, Sean. But DeSantis says he will defend their right to do just that.
It's a wonderful thing to have governors that actually stand for the rights of the individual. And it's in short supply as far as governors willing to do that. The satanic cabal that's really ruling, you know, they've been in powers and positions of power for a long time, but they're making themselves more and more overt. And what's fascinating to me is the cult that they've managed to brainwash, right, to follow their agenda by using the left and the formerly liberal party, right? The Democrats are supposed to be the liberal party, by using that as the engine driving so much of this takeover of our rights. And, you know, it wasn't difficult to foresee this trajectory, because certainly there are plenty of Republicans that played into this game of taking, you know, subverting constitutional rights. Let's not forget the drug wars and how for decades they used that pretense, and oftentimes in racist ways, to basically imprison, you know, especially young black males, right, for trafficking anything from marijuana to, you know, cocaine or crack or, you know, some kind of cocaine derivative or heroin. So the drug wars were oftentimes utilized by the conservative side, but obviously the Democrats playing into it at the same time. And the whole, you know, that whole agenda basically to subvert our, you know, our rights to our bodies, right? What we put into our bodies. So meanwhile, they were at the same moment saying it's illegal to put, you know, heroin and cocaine. And not that I'm a fan of them. I would definitely say, you know, people should be treated or have the access to treatment, you know, if they're addicted to these drugs, but to put them in prison for them. I mean, meanwhile, people are being sold on their television sets all kinds of pharmaceutical drugs with dangerous side effects to their psyche and to their brains, but that's okay because it's regulated by the FDA. So, you know, they've been playing this game for a long time. And as I said, the Republicans had subverted with the Patriot Act. Again, Democrats went all along with it. They were all for the war in Iraq. It wasn't like they were really like, they're always two sides of the same coin, right? But this subversion of our civil rights, our civil liberties, our experience of, you know, being sovereign in our person over our, you know, feeling sovereign and secure in our person from surveillance, spying, all this was sort of, you know, oh, it was excused by terrorism, it was excused by drugs being, you know, dangerous and all that. And then now, what? A virus. What's more dangerous than a virus? Well, this is not exactly the most deadly virus in the world, and yet they've managed to force the most dangerous, deadly vaccine in history upon the population, and too many people acquiescing. So it's been a slow boiling frog, to say the least.
Yeah, and when we think about a scientific dictatorship, now we must include in that a medical scientific dictatorship. You know, they're all in bed together, the mainstream whore media, the big pharma companies, I think the intelligence agencies at this point. So, you know, when we think about this monolithic satanic cabal, I guess those of us who have been following this for a long time and doing research like you have, we think of House of Rothschild, we think of House of Rockefeller, we think of the intelligence agencies, House of Windsor. I guess, for lack of a better word, the Illuminati is sort of driving all of this. But now we have these puppets, these lower level puppets like Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates, Dr. Fauci, they're all behaving like super evil people. And it's so obvious to anyone paying attention. So with that all said, and I want to hear your response to that, we'll do a screen share, because I think the trailer for your show, Best Kept Secret, certainly helps frame up some of this for our discussion. Let's watch this. And friends, you're going to recognize a voice right off the bat, at least those of you who have been following this work for a long time. It's Aaron Russo, the late Aaron Russo.
You have all the money in the world you need. You have all the power you need. What's the point? You know, what's the end goal? They said the end goal is to control the world.
These people out here who believe in this worldwide Satanist conspiracy, okay?
Ye fools and priests, I spit upon your fire.
I became a pawn in a government scheme. His ultimate goal was mind control and to create the perfect spy.
Oh, you're talking about erasing people's memories.
The parents believe the boy is alive and has
just
been kidnapped.
Just 6 years old when she died.
These people call me from all over the country telling me about the ceremony.
All of a sudden it becomes a satanic panic.
Breaking news. Governments are corrupt. They lie to their people, steal from their people, and occasionally kill them.
A new world order for ourselves and for future generations.
Oliver Stone, George Bush connection, Oliver Stone.
Oh, yeah, he's their spokesman.
While I doubt my father worked for the CIA, as a Vietnam veteran, my father saw a deeper state behind the scenes.
And that's where I want to go.
I'm going to pause it there. I'll come back to you, Sean. Boy, that just gives me chills, goosebumps. It's so well done. You have a shot in there that I want to ask you about. The Mask from Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut. I think Stanley Kubrick and your father, to a large extent, have been revealing this plan and this cabal for a very long time. Your dad's movie, JFK, one of the best movies I've ever seen, and Eyes Wide Shut, one of my favorites. I think Stanley Kubrick was telling us exactly who these people are. This is all real, okay? This isn't a conspiracy theory. It's a far-reaching global conspiracy.
Hmm. What's the question?
Is it? Is it a conspiracy theory? And who do we point the finger at?
Where to begin? You know, the series, as you know, it's so important at this time because we don't really, we'd have a little bit about the hypnosis that's been going on for the past year and a half because of the pandemic. But it's not about, it's like, don't keep focusing on this. You know, if we're sitting here arguing about the efficacy of the vaccination and the dangers of COVID, it's like we're missing the big picture. And that's what they want you to do. It's the oldest trick in the book, is just keep people in fear, keep people in the magic tricks, right? Like keep them in awe, and then, you know, you do the bait and switch, or you basically transform the entire society. They are transforming the entire society, which has been a long-term agenda to put people into more and more subjugation, right? That's the easiest way to explain it. The transhuman agenda, which people started talking about more, and like with, you know, once the birth of the computer generation of like the 90s, especially, right, when the laptop became, not the laptop really, but I guess it was a laptop. It was like the personal computer, right? That once it became an item for kids in schools when I was growing up, and the idea of the personal computer coming into the home, it became more evident where this was going. The technology that in many ways is very promising, right? The ideas of the internet, the ideas of having this world that we can interface with and connect with in this moment that we are speaking across windows, right? Across space and time. There's a tremendous opportunity for awakening of humanity. But their agenda, the dark agenda, was always to merge humans with this technology, to make it more, to acclimatize the youth, to normalize the notion of constant interface, to the place where the younger generations will be completely normal with the idea of living within virtual realities, including merging the machinery with the actual interface of, you name it, the eye, the brain. And the idea for this, you could say, at least in the modern era, started with cybernetics conferences in the 1940s, you know, basically end of the World War period, where many of the MKUltra scientists were actually involved. And cybernetics was this notion of steering the human. It was the idea of like, how do you steer, control, drive the human? And if the human is simply a biocomputer, because at the time computers were very novel during the World War II era, computers were just being born, right? And so it was like, well, if computers, we understand how computers exist, and yet the human being seems to be in some ways programmable, right? Thus is born the MKUltra programs of mind control. Thus is born the whole, you know, the decades, let's say, to follow of the research and work on evolving the eugenics experiments and testing, right? Which had begun actually in the Anglo-American Empire, it had begun in Anglo-American conferences under the auspices of the British Empire, with families like the Harriman families being major sponsors for it. And the Nazis had picked up eugenics, right, and made it into a nasty word because of their super race philosophy. But if you see what eugenics became, it became the research out at Cold Spring Harbor into the genome, the human genome, right? And the whole like genetic engineering that has picked up over the decades to follow. And to obviously we realize that most food now is no longer organic, right? You have to go and you have to request organic food and whatnot. If you just want regular, you know, if you go to restaurants or stores, the food is being given to you is not organic anymore. It's been genetically modified. Well, if these elites have been working to genetically modify the crop, and they're obviously modifying our surroundings using technologies like computing technologies and obviously evolutions of that, including virtual realities, then why is it so far-fetched for people to understand that the next evolution of genetic modification is the human being.
Right.
We are going to be genetically modified. That is really what a large aspect of the agenda is. Why? For better control.
Right. I agree. Do you believe that the vax, the quote-unquote vaccine, is part of that agenda?
Oh, it certainly is. There's a reason why. I mean, you have to ask yourself, when there's absolutely zero logic to force a vaccine on a healthy population, to force a vaccine on people, especially kids who have almost 0% chance of dying from COVID, being forced upon people with natural immunity who've been exposed, who have the antibodies, who have improved, you know, the studies have shown have better responses, immune responses. Why would you force the vaccination?
Right.
There has to be an agenda there. And when you realize that not all of the vaccines, obviously, but at least the Pfizer and Moderna are involving messenger RNA technologies, and which is itself, again, a type of gene therapy, right? You're starting to affect the human genetic process by creating proteins and having the body basically, you know, synthetically create proteins. Well, you're creating huge alterations in the human body's immune systems. That's what the DoD paper you might have covered was talking about, how the immune system is like, it needs to get the boosters to keep functioning, because now you're creating dependencies, right? Which is really what we talk about in the series, what Bertrand Russell, who was a major proponent of the New World Order, global government agenda, scientific dictatorship, all that. He was basically saying, you're going to have a future where people are going to have daily, you know, diet and injections and injunctions, you know, forced upon them. And they basically will be too stupid to object, or if they're not, you know, then they'll have to deal with it. I mean, that's the elite psychology.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, I've given this so much thought recently. Do you think that they've rushed their plan? Because this is so clumsy and so overtly tyrannical, and most people are not so dumbed down that they don't recognize it. I think they're really waking up a lot of people around the world, because, you know, what they're doing is so overtly tyrannical. Do you think that they've rushed their plan?
I don't think they've rushed their plan. In fact, someone pointed out the expectation was Hillary was going to win in 2016, and the actual virus was supposed to be released by like 2018, 2019. Wasn't the bat actually on the quarter last year? Do you remember this? On the US quarter, wasn't there like a bat?
Oh, that's entirely possible. I know they keep monkeying around with the quarters, and yeah. I don't know. I missed that.
I think that was actually designed, you know, initially with the intention of commemorating it, or to basically say like this was, I don't think this was rushed. And what shocks me consistently is how overt it is, and yet how compliant people are. You know, the fact is that, yeah, it's obvious, you know, the things I'm pointing out, this is the most deadly vaccine in history. It's not like, you know, that's just a fact. I mean, it's not like you can't really dispute that. And yet, the fact that people will literally allow themselves to be forced. They will not quit their job. They will not quit their position. They will not leave the city. They will not resist. I mean, we'll see what happens in New York. I would love to see BLM start to lead the, you know, the revolt, the protests, let's say, against anyone trying to force these passports. But the fact that people will comply, it's very sad. It's very indicative of how sloppy these people are, and yet how willing we are to then surrender our freedoms for the sake that there's a promise that you'll be safe, or that you'll be free if you do this. Oh, just give us your vaccination passport. Next thing you know, it's going to be digitized. Next thing you know, it'll be, as Gates already experimented upon in Africa with luciferase, it'll be injected in. The vaccine identifier will be injected into you. By the way, speaking of the ingredients, we don't know all the ingredients of these vaccines. I mean, besides the toxic things that we know are toxic to humans that we know are in vaccines, right? And the aborted fetus tissues and things like this that they purposely put there because they're satanic. We don't even know the full ingredients. So when people start saying, well, there's, you know, they're seeing parasites, you know, when they're looking at some of the vaccines, or the Japanese think that the vaccines are faulty, but they're actually not. That's just, they're made of some really weird stuff that, you know, not just including graphene oxide, which I wouldn't doubt is part of it. The point is, we don't know. And the fact that you're just, people are willing to stick something in their bloodstream and bypass their blood-brain barrier with ingredients that they don't even know, to me, it just says everything.
Yeah. No, it's exactly what I find shocking too about all of this. And I've had conversations with my mother-in-law, with my own mom, who both took the vaccine, and they both continue to ask, why haven't we given it to our kids? I mean, this is insane, right? These people are
insane. Do they know how many kids have, can they tell you how many kids have died from COVID?
You know, my wife tried to inform my mother-in-law, who's getting up in years now, and it seems like the older these people get, the more combative they get, and they get more polarized in their positions. I think she gets all her news from NPR. And when my wife tried to explain to my mom that this vaccine has taken, at the time, it was more than 10,000 people's lives, according to VAERS, my mother-in-law laughed. I could hear the conversation on speakerphone. She literally guffawed and said, where do you get your news? Where do you even get that information? So yeah, you can't reach some of these people. And it's extraordinary because, you know, my mother-in-law, I guess, doesn't care that she doesn't know what the ingredients are. And she doesn't care that if she were to be harmed by this or maimed or killed, nobody can sue Big Pharma because they have immunity against lawsuits. I mean, again,
Isn't it shocking that in the most litigious country in the world, which is America, has been known to be, where people sue over a spilled coffee? Now, not to belittle the fact that the coffee was scalding hot, but I remember the lawsuit, you know, McDonald's got sued for scalding coffee a lady, you know, spilled on herself. In a country this litigious, an employer is going to force you to get a vaccine and then people are literally dying thereafter and there's no consequence? Are you kidding me?
I know. It's just absolutely shocking. And I guess, you know, we've used the word, you have, I know I have at least once in this conversation, satanic. That's a big word, right?
Oh, I don't say it lightly.
Let's talk about this because here's the thing. I'm not saying that everybody in the horror Mockingbird mainstream media is satanic, you know, nor everybody that works at Pfizer or Moderna. But when we look at the top of the food chain, this plot is so devious and so sinister that one is left to conclude that the people really at the top of the food chain are carrying out some sort of satanic strategy or satanic plan because it's so dark and it's so anti-human.
It is. So, you know, the docuseries will elucidate a lot of things for people and clarify hopefully a lot of things. When, you know, Mark Passio, who's a former satanic priest, is interviewed and he's in the series, and he talks about, he says, look, Satanism, people think it's like, there's different aspects of Satanism. There is the devil worshiping, which is more, a lot of times, just artful and, you know, how do you say, or, you know, entertaining, you know, the Anton LaVey kind of circus act, right? Anton LaVey came out of a circus background, so it's performative, right? It's designed to like create this sort of, ooh, we're woo-woo, we're weird. And you know, you get the sort of the trench coat mafia goth types, right, who just want to be different. Okay, that is some aspect, but it's not real. That's not the real Satanism that we're talking about. Satanism is absolute materialism. It's belief in the material realm, or control of the material realm, or desire to control the material realm. It's a complete disconnect from the spiritual realm, which we, the faith, those who have faith, those who believe in what is said in the Bible, that man is made in the image of God, those who believe in the Declaration of Independence, and this notion of humans being born with inalienable rights by a creator, endowed with their creator. This connection to creation is so important that the satanic agenda is very intimately interwoven to much of the scientific dictatorship, because they do not see how life is a spiritual experience. They want to make it all mundane and material. They want to reduce it all to the level of that which is controllable, down to the level of the atom, you see. And so from that perspective, when Schwab talks about this merging of the biological, digital, and physical identity, right, a spiritual person could never believe that. Because a spiritual person knows that you cannot take the physical and biological identity and reduce it to digital. It doesn't work. You see, it's not a reduction. That's a reduction of all that we are, which is this. Again, it's like the, this is stuff I was, you know, looking into years ago with my documentary Metahuman, going into this question of the brain. The brain does not create consciousness. The brain, you know, ideas do not just come from the brain. If you believe that, you essentially, you're buying into this, this materialistic dogma that leads you to Satanism. And it gets away from this idea that no, we are, our brains are intimately interwoven into the tapestry of the universe in such a way that we can receive from the ideational realm, such that we can have out of body experiences. We can basically, our consciousness can go beyond our immediate surroundings. And so we are looking at a satanic agenda to essentially make people entrapped. And the fear of the virus is part of this, because the virus itself has no power. You see, people literally are sitting there going, if the virus gets from you to me, I'm going to get sick. That's not if that were the case, we would never have survived as a species. You see, this whole germ theory that like, oh, the virus is just going to get you, and then once there's enough virus in you, you're going to get sick. No, you have an immune system. It's an amazing, you could say it's a magical thing, the immune system, how powerful it is, how our responses work, how we adapt and are made of ourselves, our genetic structures, our DNA is made of viruses, you know, if you want to call them that, exosomes. And so what's happening in the process of our evolution and experience with these different things, germs, right, is that we're like synthesizing and absorbing and evolving. So the last thing you want to do to a child is put a mask on a child, right? Or vaccinate the child against something like a flu or a cold. It's like, no, you want the child to be exposed to these things. And the same with any healthy immune system, right? Any somewhat functional human immune system. You want to expose yourself. They're basically depriving us of that because of this magical idea, materialist reductionist idea of a virus that will take you over if you get exposed to it, you see?
Hey friends, this is a good time for a quick break and a word about our sponsor. Yeah, it's Noble Gold. Now, you've heard about shrinkflation, right? That's where your candy bar gets smaller, but the price stays the same. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now, but the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Yeah. It just gives me pause. I have so many thoughts racing through my head. I don't know if you've seen it. I'm sure you have. All of the reports coming out from doctors that have studied the blood of the vaxxed people. And their findings are really quite horrific. And I'll do a screen share here. I don't have her name in front of me, but a lovely doctor on the Stu Peters show was interviewed. And she reported finding this. You see these round black structures?
Mm-hmm.
Do those look organic to you, or do those look mechanical? Do they look man-made? Well, they are in one of the vax vials that she studied, and the coagulated blood of vax people is just so startling because these vaccines are causing blood clots. They're killing people. And here's the part I don't get. When we think of Rockefeller Lockstep, that 2010 document coming out of the Rockefeller Foundation, we can see that behavior right now all around us. So Big Pharma, the mainstream horror media, Bill Gates, Dr. Fauci, the NIH, the CDC, they're all in lockstep. Mm-hmm. And it does not seem to matter how many people die or how much new startling research comes out. They keep singing the same tune. As if they're not afraid of the people at all, as if they just have no worries whatsoever. They've run their supercomputer calculations and they know they have a 99.8% chance of beating us. And that's why they continue to stay in lockstep, because otherwise I just can't explain it. It just makes no sense to me that the entire mainstream horror media is so corrupt that they'll just ignore all of these horrifying findings regarding the vaccine and the blood?
It's been a process. So when you weed out, okay, if you think about this process of how do you take over media? The reason my show is called Buzzsaw, which I did from 2013 or 14 to 2019, and a lot of the docuseries, The Best Kept Secret, is based on Buzzsaw interviews. It was called Buzzsaw because there was a great book written by a journalist called Into the Buzzsaw. And she and a collection of journalists, about a dozen journalists, told their stories about dealing with the editor class in the media, right? And they had worked for, you know, anything from like ABC to, you know, think of the Kill the Messenger, right? Gary Webb with Mercury. And the point is that the editors would kill oftentimes the good journalists in their stories, right? Their independent, their investigative research. And we saw this over the decades. I mean, look at how the media suppressed the cocaine story.
The Epstein story with ABC News.
Epstein, there you go. So it's not like it's difficult to suppress stories when you have the editor class. But there's two other major factors here. Bobby Kennedy Jr. told me this once, that he talked to Roger Ailes before he passed. And Ailes he talked about the vaccination dangers, connection to autism, right? The MMR vaccine connection to autism. And Ailes confided, he said, listen, I think Ailes' own kid had autism or some kind of, was on the spectrum, and said, you know, I am also concerned about this. 70% of our revenue from marketing, from commercials, is pharmaceutical companies. Yeah. America is one of the only countries in the world that actually allows the pharmaceutical companies to advertise directly to the consumer. Think about that. I mean, literally, if you're watching your Super Bowl, you're watching your football game, I mean, it's like here's your Big Mac, there's your car, there's your drug. They're everywhere. So they're paying for the media. First of all, how can the media be independent and investigate Big Pharma if Big Pharma's paying them? Okay, you've already lost the independence. Then what they've done is, over decades, they've weeded out journalists, investigative journalists. I mean, we were complaining about this stuff 10 years ago, I remember. Like, you know, the Glenn Greenwalds of the world had to go start The Intercept, which he now left, because he was one of the few investigative journalists who was just saying, you know, the media doesn't want investigative journalism. They want bloggers, pundits, talking heads, right? They want the person that's going to, you know, toe the line, right? They don't want journalism. So it's been a weeding out process, to the place where sometimes you wonder when you read these articles online if these even people are real or if they're just AIs. I say it like kind of tongue in cheek, but it's that place where there is such a lack of inquisitiveness and investigative nature to ask questions or to show both sides of the stories. It's like they've just made up their mind and this is it. They're just gonna give it to you. And oftentimes they don't even bother to quote, by the way. A lot of articles I read, they'll say so-and-so said this. They don't even quote the person.
Right.
I mean, this is like the lamest, you know, you can't even go to, I don't know how they get through college. You know, I had to cite my sources when I wrote my book. I didn't just say so-and-so said this and not even put a quotation around what they actually said. I just saw Robert David Steele passed away the other, you know, who I knew from, he was our executive producer on Best Kept Secret. You know, he was really the godfather who made it happen. And when Steele passed away, the journalists are going, he said COVID was a hoax. He never said COVID was a hoax. He said he may have said that there was a plandemic going on, but I mean, come on, like, where do they get that quote from? They repeat it. And you notice that they'll say that about anyone who dies, who's a skeptic, who, when it comes to the actual response, right? Who will, you know, who's challenging the narrative around ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, all this kind of stuff, you know, who's challenging all that. Then they'll just say, he said it was a hoax. Right. And now he's sick, or now he's dead.
Right.
Crazy.
It is crazy. The other thing that's crazy is that there's such an incredible lack of integrity. It seems like integrity has been sucked out of the average person to the degree that, well, look at Project Veritas and their expose on Pfizer scientists. They've got undercover footage of employees of Pfizer saying, yeah, I wouldn't take the vaccine, or, you know, your natural immunity will provide better antibodies than the vaccine. You know, this one of these people is asked, should I take the vaccine? He says, wait. One of them says that he believes that he works for an evil company now at this point, but he still works there. He doesn't quit. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're all sort of responsible for this slavery that we're rapidly finding ourselves mired in, to the degree that, you know, there's a lot of people that still work for Monsanto. There's a lot of people that still work for Pfizer and Moderna. And there's a lot of people who must know the truth that are in the whore mainstream media that, I guess, just don't mind lying to the people. So I guess, how do we defeat this? Is there any hope for humanity? I have hope, okay? I believe in the creator, and I believe that maybe there will be some divine intervention here. But short of that, it just really seems like we have our back up against the wall. Look no further than my mom and my mother-in-law.
Yeah, yeah. No, there'll be a weeding out process. You know, it's not, it's okay. Like, it's okay to let go of relationships that are toxic in the same way that letting go of jobs that are toxic, right? This is very much an individual process of standing up into our own character, our own sovereignty, our own integrity, because that's all that matters. We do answer to our souls at the end of the day. We answer to the creator at the end of the day. There's no, all this, you know, this materiality, this is satanic for a reason. That's how they've been able to inveigle many people, right, and ensnare them into these traps for so long. But a lot of people are seeing through it now. At the same time, those who don't see through it, they'll be held accountable. Nothing is lost on creation. So I don't worry too much about all of humanity, because I know that we have bastions of light, and we have, you know, states that are standing up, we have counties that are standing up, we have people that are outraged. And the key now is to see each other more clearly, which is easier when everyone is sitting down or kneeling. Basically, everyone is in a position of, you know, kowtowing, bowing. Those who stand up, we can see each other much more easily. And the process now begins of creating new economies. See, like all these nurses and doctors being fired, new clinics.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be in an industry where, and then we become guides, you see, for others. So that, okay, you leave that state, you know, people say, hey, I'm going to get out of LA if they're going to lock, you know, they're going to force this, they're going to discriminate based on a vaccine status. Well, get out of LA, go to a city that doesn't discriminate, go to a state that doesn't discriminate. That's how you do it. You've got to shift your way of seeing the world, because it was a matrix. And this is the only way, in a way, to break the matrix, is for the good people to start paving the way for others to follow. To say, yeah, we can be the leaders of new industries. You know, the Grant Cardones who are saying, you know, I'm going to employ people that, you know, that are not vaccinated. Like, I'm going to defy the laws. That's how you build courage and character. I mean, this has been done before, man. I mean, people are so, they're sitting here like, oh, I'm losing my job. You know, what do you think Gandhi felt when they were facing an empire? You know, it was, oh, I'm worried that, you know, the cotton industry of India that was doing the textiles, right? And they were boycotting or striking, you know, for their freedom. They were striking, they were losing jobs, you know. What do? You strike, you fight back, you don't comply. You go to people that have integrity, you work with them, you make a choice. We can't sit here and say, well, it's hard, you know, I'm gonna lose this. Yeah, I can sympathize and empathize with losing. But what was it to be a black person in the South, where you couldn't go into a restaurant, you know? That's like, or South Africa, to suffer apartheid. I mean, literally, it's like, this is not the first time this has happened. We have to take the courage, and knowing that we're not alone. There's a lot of us. We have a lot more support than they did. When the Native Americans, you know, saw the white man coming, it wasn't like, you know, they didn't band together. If they had, they probably would've been stronger. They probably would've been able to resist in a more thorough way. Not fully, I'm saying, but they probably would have been stronger if they had banded together. We have to band together, because that's the only way we're going to prevail. Right. There's enough of us. But if we're going to sit here with our egos and our narcissism and say, well, it's just about me, or, you know, hey, I'll just get by, it's not, you're not going to make it. And it's just like, it really is that time to start, you know, we do these kind of conversations. We bring in people to our fold who are awakening, who are, you know, who have integrity, you know. And I don't care if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, but if you're going to say, well, you know, I'm going to comply with discrimination, you know, then that's not cool. If you're vaccinated, but you say, I'm not complying, power to you. That's what matters. You see, standing on the right side of history is what matters. There are enough of us. We cannot be afraid.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think that there is a lot of hope because there are a lot of good people that are waking up to this overt evil, you know, and it's causing the enemy to really show themselves for the tyrants they are. And again, I don't think there's a recent better example than that school board association reaching out directly to Biden via a letter, begging Biden to get the DOJ and the FBI sicked on these people, to get the FBI and the DOJ to target these people and label them terrorists for showing up at school board meetings and speaking out against mandatory masks, mandatory vaccinations, critical race theory, etc. I guess if there's hope at all, it's the fact that we now know who the enemies are. I mean, they've made themselves very obvious. And I'll do a screen share here again. I misspoke earlier. It's a six-part docuseries. Let's just watch the end of it right here.
But you were staying at the house of a convicted sex offender.
It was a convenient place to stay.
We've allowed this to happen because we didn't know that there was another reality we could experience.
All right, guys, you can find that directly over there on Vimeo. I will leave the link below. I think you can buy all six parts. It's $4.99. Is that right, Sean?
Yeah. Yeah, you can buy the whole series for that for $5.
All right. Let me figure out how to end screen share here. Yeah. Well, isn't that interesting? The prince there, ensnared by the same Jeffrey Epstein honeypot, let's say, as Bill Gates. I guess this is a fun way to round out the discussion. So we got the prince there, wiggling in his chair, you know, trying to defend his association with Jeffrey Epstein. And we see the same thing with Bill Gates in that recent NPR interview. It's just, I don't know. Why were these guys spending so much time with Jeffrey Epstein?
One wonders. Why was Bill Gates?
I know.
You know, who the heck was Epstein, man? This guy is so connected, so wealthy. Leon Black, now they said, right, is not only gave him, I don't know how much money, hundreds of millions or billions, but hundreds of millions at least. But Leon Black now is being accused of, I think, rape as well, right, of underage girl. Why is Epstein the guy, right? Is he like the guy that everyone knew in their, you know, elite circles? Like, yeah, if you know. He's fun. He's got young girls. Like Trump said, you know, he likes the young girls. I mean, it couldn't have been a secret at that level. But he also maybe had, I didn't say, he had a certain, I think it was always a quid pro quo. I mean, he was probably intelligence, right? There's all kinds of allegations about his relationship with CIA, Mossad, these kind of things. But again, you know, what really is going on? There's a deeper level, I think, that we don't really see at the surface, deeper even than compromising politicians, that whole experience of the island being this sort of, I don't know, playground for them, with this occult ceremonial vibe to the temple, right? Almost like an Eyes Wide Shut party. I mean, look, let's be honest. I mean, the trafficking of young women is not just for, you know, for those elites. It happens in the case of the modeling industry, right? A lot of the models are girls that are brought up at even as young as I think 13, 14, right, from a lot of foreign countries, Eastern Europe, Latin America, right, places that they're just happy, they're excited to be having opportunity to work. And I think it's just all too often that they are then molested, raped in the process of being groomed to, you know, hey, you want to be a successful model, you want to be famous, you have to do this and that. But then there's, you know, there's even the younger children. And I don't even know that Andrew, the Prince Andrew or Clinton were involved at that. Bill, I don't know. I've heard that Hillary was the Hillary tape that she was seen on some video killing a small child. But I think the point is that the teenagers are old when we talk about pedophilia. That's where the really, really dark satanic stuff goes on with the children, the real, like, children, I mean, like, babies and you know, younger than 10.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've spent a lot of time reporting about a lot of that, you know, hashtag Pizzagate, right? Hashtag Pedogate. You know, when we think of Prince Andrew, well, let's talk about the, we don't have to now, but I mean, let's consider the entire royal family. And Prince Charles was best buds with Jimmy Savile.
Yes.
And Jimmy Savile trafficked in children and was a necrophiliac and got away with it forever, his entire career.
Charles, I'm told Charles is worse than Andrew, which makes, just feeling and reading things, I would say Charles is worse than Andrew. And I would say Philip was probably even worse than both of the kids, Prince Philip.
Yeah, well, that's interesting you'd mention that, because, boy, you're triggering memories here. There was a article, I think about a dozen native kids, orphans from Canada, disappeared after Prince Philip and the Queen visited. Were they Aboriginal? I'm going off memory here. I'll try to find the article. But yeah, no, Prince Philip is a real demon. And by the way, I think he wanted to come back in a second life as a killer virus to thin the herd.
Didn't he just pass away? Is he Corona?
Well, it is interesting. Eventually, these people all do go meet their maker. Isn't that interesting? Eventually, they all go do meet their maker. And I found it to be kind of a celebratory day when David Rockefeller finally passed away. But yeah, Prince Philip, I mean, some of these demons really live a long, long time. You know, they'll get up approaching 100 years old. Look how old the Queen is. Look how much blood she has on her hands. But eventually, they're all going to go meet their maker. And I wonder if they're in for a rude awakening.
I don't know if it happens just upon death. The sixth chapter, which is coming out this weekend, Best Kept Secret, is about the archons, or the demons, if you want to call them, that, you know, that don't come from around. It's more than just human beings behind this stuff, I believe. You know, the blood drinking, the rituals, the satanic rituals. It's like I said, the Satanists are materialists. They love the material realm. Isn't Lucifer promised, or Satan has promised, that he's a prince of the world, they call him, right? So he's promised the world because it's a loose, but because he wants, you know, power and control. But it's an illusion, don't forget. The world is, the physical realm is illusion. It's the computer I'm sitting with here with is just like my being. It's just energy moving at such a pace that it appears physical. So when you fall in love with the physical realm, that's how the demons have always tempted humans, right? Is to control them with money and sex and fame and all these things, right? Sell your soul for it. As Marilyn said, you know, they'll sell their soul. What is it? It's like, what was it? They would sell their soul for a kiss. I mean, it was something like really kind of, it's bad how the soul selling goes within the media, the film business, and the music industry. I mean, people have talked about this for years. So politics, I'm sure, is the same. It's like, sell your soul for worldly power. But ultimately, in the process of selling the soul, I believe that many of these beings are taken over by the demonic force. It's a parasite in a way, right? It's a parasiting of the being, because you basically have sold, you've given away your soul, which is your connection to God, your connection to other realms of light and you know, real spiritual power. You've basically become more and more empty, so it can be filled by demonic force, and it then needs to be fed, you see. So it's no longer connected to source and light and health and everything that's abundant and good. It's basically needs to feed on, you know, you name it. Children, blood, pure energy of children especially is said to be important for, you know, these rituals and whatnot. So you're basically looking at what was called a mind parasite, I think, by Colin Wilson. And you know, the Gnostics understood this as an archonic force. It's basically, you know, the satanic force is using humans in a relationship where those who are narcissistic enough, who are egoic enough, who are disconnected from source enough to surrender their souls for worldly power, right? The temptation, the promise, like Jesus has promised the world, right? If he surrenders himself to Satan, and those who basically have done so, they are, I believe, taken over.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you 100% about that. And well, I mean, we wrestle against principalities, right? We wrestle against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. I mean, it's a bitter pill. You know, I've always said if we had benevolent dictators on this planet instead of malevolent ones like the Rothschilds, the Windsors, the Rockefellers, the Harrimans, etc., the world could be an Eden. Oh, it's a world of plenty, man. It really is. But you know, artificial scarcity and control.
We have the technology. Yeah, we have the technology. We have the manpower. But again, as you said, it's artificial scarcity. It's a belief that we are in a finite world as opposed to an infinite universe, abundant universe, which we are in, and that there really is enough for all of us. And the problem, of course, is that they've created these artificial constructs like socialism and communism. When it's like loving a community and having community relations, right? Communality is a great thing. But this idea of imposing it and being forced, it's like they've basically co-opted great principles, and they've co-opted these principles and made it into an ideology that is ultimately for their gain, like the Great Reset. It's like, yeah, everyone will be able to rent. Okay, great. So we're all the renters, but you own everything, right? Like, don't pretend like you're renting to, you know, Gates and Schwab and in the elite class. I mean, come on, you're playing this game where you're using, again, wonderful principles of, you know, hey, like the natives talked about, you know, we don't own this land. You know, it's ultimately, it's like we pass on, we die, and nature continues on without us, right? We don't own the planet. But, you know, you take that principle and then you run with it because you're an overlord and you're trying to manipulate people. That's their way of doing it. It's manipulation, and always for purposes of control, because we're a food source to them, energetically.
Well, and maybe literally. I mean, now they're moving to ban meat. They want artificial meat to pretty much rule the roost by 2022. That's all new information coming out.
And, well, you guys,
Soylent Green is people, right?
Did you see? You didn't see my movie, The Fury of the Fist and the Golden Fleece? We talked about it. 2016, it came out.
Oh, really? I'll have to watch that. No.
It came out in 2017 or I don't remember. It came out years ago. The Fury of the Fist, and basically, it's like the guy, the Fist, is an action. You know, he's an action hero, and the conspiracy is to emasculate men by putting estrogen in the meat, and it's Soylent. It's called Soylent meat, or so we have found Soylent Green. We call it, you know, Soylent. Do you see? It's full of soy.
Yeah.
And yeah, the whole plot is to basically to emasculate the male. Who are the defenders, as you know, that's why they hate alpha males, right? They're like, they call us white privilege, toxic masculine, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, I just heard a report, actually, I should rephrase that. I saw a repost from a young farmer. It was put on BitChute, who said that in digging through the infrastructure bill, he somehow stumbled upon a clause where they want to tax. He's a cattle rancher. His family are cattle ranchers. They want to tax each head of cattle $2,000 per year. He says, we have 350 cattle. That's $700,000 a year. We don't make enough money to pay that tax. So what will that do? It'll put us out of business, which is what they want.
Yeah, that's right.
So sinister.
Yeah.
So diabolical and sinister and difficult to swallow when you know you now have a criminal government. I mean, literally a coup took place and now we have an overtly criminal government.
Yes, it is. It is. How we call it a satanic. And they're so satanic that they don't even have prayer anymore. They have abortion up to 9 months, right? Full term. Probably go to, you know, after birth. They want to cut men's ability to procreate after 40. I don't know if you saw that bill that's being introduced to give a vasectomy to any man over 40. It's satanic. It's pure. It's just in your face.
Well, I hate to end these things on a low note. You know, we want to give people hope. And I think the best thing you can do these days to get hope is to try to wake up your friends, your neighbors, you know, your colleagues, warn them about the vaccine. You know, you can try. I mean, that's all you can do is try.
Yeah, I did a recent interview with Peter McCullough, Dr. Peter McCullough. It's on my Rumble channel. It's a good interview for anyone who just wants to inform people, to get them informed consent, so that when you actually go to take the vaccine, you have been given informed consent as to what you're doing and the dangers of it. Because as we know, that's a big issue, that people are just, again, sticking it in. They don't know the ingredients. They don't know the side effects. They don't even realize that they're, you know, many of, especially if they're under 50, I mean, they're more in danger from the vaccine than from the virus. I mean, it's just, we're in very dangerous, dangerous ground here, where my interview got sent. This is actually, that interview helped shut down my YouTube channel. So, you know, I'm on Rumble and BitChute now.
I was kicked off of YouTube in October of this past year, 2020, you know, without cause, without reason. So yeah, we do our best to get the word out over on BitChute. I'm on Rumble too, Odyssey, sgtreport.tv. But I want people to know how they can sort of keep in touch with you. Your website is seanstone.info, correct?
That's right. That's a website. Yes.
All right. And to find Best Kept Secret, that's on Vimeo, guys, on demand. I will provide the link below. $4.99 to get all six parts of the docuseries. Man, I've really enjoyed our conversation today. Thanks so much for all your time.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Sean. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, guys, our guest has been Sean Stone. Really do appreciate you and your voice, Sean. And friends, I appreciate all of you as well. Thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv, where we have a server beyond the reach of totalitarian Big Brother. And I'll remind you guys, for free, every single day, you can visit us directly for real news, the antidote to corporate propaganda, at sgtreport.com. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye. I want to personally thank you for tuning in to the podcast version of SGT Report, the propaganda antidote, shrinkflation. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time, everywhere now, but the government insists that inflation is under control, or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Well, that's it for now, friends. Thank you so very much for tuning in, and I'll remind you every single day for free, visit us directly at sgtreport.com, the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless. Bye-bye.